Spitwads, this is a family show. This is about spending time with your family and laughing together, making fun of all of your relatives in front of them or behind their backs. That's what the Spitballers podcast is about. And so this week, we're going to be spending some time with our families on spring break, making fun of them right to their faces and having a great time on our own little vacation here. So we have for you a phenomenal spit hit classic that you are going to enjoy with you and yours. Enjoy.
What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
Boom, boom, dingity, boom, boom, ba-dip-a-dip, boom.
What? The low voice, the... feel like you were probably going for something else than...
Is that a ghost?
Were those heavy...
I couldn't get the volume level at the deep voice that I wanted, so it was real quiet. It was like, yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, you were playing the cello over there.
Yeah. I thought to myself, deep voice would be a nice mix-up.
I liked it
but
a
lot. But I can't get any, can't get any volume. Try to yell in a real low voice.
Boom. Hey, you guys.
Welcome into the Spitballers, episode 170. You're welcome, everybody. Would you rather, situation room, and a spooky, scary, terrifying, find a hiding place type of draft.
Mm-hmm.
At Spitballers Pod on Twitter, Instagram.com/Spitballers Pod if you want to follow us over there on the old IG. And if you're watching the show on YouTube, you're doing it at youtube.com/spitballers.
Yes, you are.
And you're watching Bobble Thor.
He's at it again.
We can't stop him. Nothing you can do.
Boom, boom, boom.
See, I actually like that version better because that's got the rhythm. That's got boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, like, I mean, look, man, you get one shot. I didn't get a workshop.
You threw it away.
I guess. You were not a fan. Mike seemed he was okay with it.
I liked it. It tickled my fancy.
Yeah.
I can get it. All I'm saying is I really like the renditions after the fact. The boom, 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 boom.
Well, now
boom,
you're just singing boom, a blues bass line.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
That's pretty good. They should do that.
Boom, 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 boom.
All right. Let's get this thing going.
Would you rather?
Boop, 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 boop.
All right, Donaldio from the website. Would you rather have to move into a new home every year for the next 10 years or help someone move every weekend for the next year?
That's a bad year.
But that's also a bad 10 years. You have to move every year?
Can it at least be in the winter? Now, I know that in some places in the country that would be like the worst, but moving in the summer,
yes,
in Arizona is... It's almost a death sentence. It's
75,000 people a year in Arizona pass away from moving in the summer.
75,000.
Yes.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of year to hire someone to move me.
Oh, but here's the problem. If you're helping someone move every weekend,
you're getting all the weather.
You're getting the entirety of the summer.
If you hired someone to move in Arizona in the summer, are you now, like, are you a hitman?
Yes. You manslaughter charges have been brought. Against people.
Because it's not safe.
Every weekend is 52 days, right? A year that you are moving somebody.
Well, 52 times, yes.
52 times. Yes. Yes, 52 days a year. And if you have
to move.
Well,
sometimes a move is multiple days.
Sure. So it's maybe even more. That I'm just trying to math it out where, like, if I move and have to move every year my whole house, that's a lot more than a week of. Like, there's at least a 2 month period after you move where you're putting stuff away.
Well,
and
if you know you're moving in a year,
oh, you don't
you
even
ever
put it away.
Actually unpack. So I mean, if you have to move every single year, you are never fully setting up your house. Maybe once or twice, and then you go, "This is for the birds. I'm never doing that again." And then you're just living in a suitcase.
I don't know. I think if you know you might do that the first year or the second year, but eventually you're gonna say, you know what? We're moving every year for a decade. I'm not going to live out of a suitcase. So you move and you unpack everything right away to maximize what you're going to get. I mean, the reality is this is simple math, like Andy's saying.
That's too many days.
You're talking about 10 times versus 52 times. And let me tell you one other problem here with the every weekend. We had a – our kids were just in a theater production, and they had like a two-month period, maybe 3 months, where they had rehearsals.
What is this, a residency?
Don't get me started. I mean, it was like they were – like they should be paid and have their equity card. We paid to put them in it, but anyways,
you're a fool.
After a lot of 50-hour weeks,
you chose
they had a fantastic show.
Aren't there child labor laws?
No, they can get around them when we pay to put them in. No, you
can sing and dance as long as you want.
No lunch for you. But every single Saturday, every single weekend, we had that obligation.
Okay.
And it sucks so much to realize that you can't ever plan a weekend getaway at all. Like, you know, we have a cabin. Nope, can't see that. You want to go to a staycation? Nope. You've always got this, like, obligation. So that means for an entire year.
You're a mover. I mean, that's a part-time job.
Let me ask this question, Jason. Jason's children, please turn off the podcast if you're listening.
Okay, they've turned it off now.
What would you rather do on a Saturday?
Okay.
Do all of that nonsense.
Shuttle,
where you're shuttling,
back and forth,
having to sit there. You're probably sitting in a parking lot.
Sometimes,
like,
absolutely.
For a long, long time.
Yeah.
Or help your best friend move.
For 2 hours.
I am shuttling. And driving, okay. No problem. Helping,
I thought I had him.
No, helping someone move is, Andy has nailed this on the head. We have learned, as we have grown into our adulthood, that when family members move, the best gift that you can give them as a housewarming, you know, it's sometimes there's the obligation of getting a housewarming gift. Get them movers. What a wonderful treat for them, and also for me, because
get thanks from all the other family members.
Absolutely.
In fact, would have been invited.
Why don't all the family members help chip in?
Yes.
And get movers for old sister-in-law or whoever.
You have an intervention with the person that asked you to move, and everybody else is there, and they look at you and you say, "We've all decided that we're going to get you movers because we don't want to do this."
That's right. So
it's not bad.
I am definitely moving once a year for a decade.
I think so, too.
What if you can't hire movers?
It's fine. It's once a year.
I would rather do that once a year. Also, imagine the equity I'm taking out every year. I'm just moving. After 10 years, I'm living in a mansion.
No, you're not. The tax man's getting you, bro. That's not long term.
Yeah, oh, it's not long term. You got to move every 2 years, every
you
year.
You still make money.
That's right,
that's
America.
Good.
You were turning into a comedy podcast. You didn't know you were getting tax advice
right.
on real estate.
You'd become a minimalist. If you knew you were moving once a year, every year, you would have the bare essentials. It'd be a good thing. All right. Geraldo from Patreon. Would you rather drive a school bus or a Prius for the rest of your life rather than your for your commuter and family vehicle? So you have to choose one.
Oh, man.
There's literally only one place that you should drive a Prius, and that's off a cliff.
Have you ever operated any type of vehicle that resembles the size of
yes,
a school bus?
Yes. And
what?
Well, here's the deal. A full...
No, a minivan does not count.
No, I know a minivan does not count, but I have had... The full like
a
the
full size van does not count.
No, the full size U-Haul, like the 20-foot,
that does not count
oh,
as a bus.
Absolutely,
no.
The full size?
No way.
With the van front or
no
with the like semi truck
like,
back?
It's like the semi truck back.
Resident man of the show, Al Borland, compare that to a school
I'm
bus.
I'm with you, Jay.
I would actually let it count. Yeah, it's close enough.
I mean, you're talking about, let me look, because I've gotten their
like
biggest.
Like a 26-foot truck.
Yeah, I mean, that is a monster. Yeah, 26-foot.
I'd rather drive a school bus than that.
Yeah, and it's not fun. I mean, it is not fun. Can you.
How long was your drive?
It would have been from west side to east side, so an hour and 15 minutes because you can't go even up to the speed limit in those suckers. You're driving so slow.
Let me give a shout out to the most...
school bus drivers? Yes.
I was going to say not just school bus, but city bus. One of the most impressive things I've ever been a part of was two separate heroes in the world, which was I went to a trip overseas to Europe, to Israel, and I was part of a tour bus, and this guy navigated this bus, which was the size of 50 cars.
It's a superpower.
And it was unbelievable. And then in Chicago, I'm on the buses there. They dip in and out of these spots and around cars like they're like race car, like Jeff Gordon, like a race car driver. I've never been more impressed with a skill than driving a bus that precisely.
And it is a skill that I do not have.
Oh, man, you're hitting stuff.
I will say, too, yes, that the U-Haul, you're going to cool the cab of that thing down a lot easier than you are a bus.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You have any school buses that had air conditioning? Because we did not.
No, I've never
seen.
This
was windows down, but there was the line. You're not allowed to put the window down past the line in the middle, except we did because we were cool.
You want to know why they tell you not to do that, too?
So you don't fall out?
They tell you the horror story that we got?
Oh, the horror story of hair. Someone put their
is
hair out.
Is that what it is?
Oh,
it,
they got their scalp ripped off.
This cannot be a real.
This story was used to scare kids.
I believe this is a nationwide story, and it happened at your school.
Yep.
You've heard this story?
Oh, the girl with the luscious locks hanging out, and it got caught in a tree as you were driving.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this terrifying, horrific, murderous story. You're telling these kids to keep your arms and legs. Oh, yeah. And then the scalp just ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine that, though?
The scalp ripped off?
I mean, it didn't because it didn't ever happen.
It was made up.
It was a made-up story.
It's a monster story.
That made up for a lot of urine in school buses because kids are peeing their pants.
Now, we all heard that, man.
Okay, I have so many questions.
Yeah.
No, I did not receive that treatment.
Yeah.
Ours was simply because we had kids throwing scissors out the back of the window at the crossing guards, which I've told that story before, so I don't blame them for not wanting the windows down. So they told you guys a story.
That a girl?
That a young lady had her hair get stuck.
In a tree or something.
And instead of her hair ripping out, the scalp actually ripped off her body.
I mean, it wasn't good for her.
That doesn't seem like what would actually happen.
Well, we were afraid of it. Those windows stayed nice and high.
I would open the window, but I would not.
You followed the line?
Oh, there's trees everywhere, apparently. Like, there's no trees in Arizona. That's the funniest
part. And
what
kind of hair did you even have?
There's no trees on the side of the road.
Why is Rapunzel on the school bus?
Seriously. But, I mean, it was effective because I did not. I knew that if I put a pinky out of that window, it's gone.
Yes.
It's just, that's a nightmare zone out there.
There's now, saws out there.
I do have a follow-up here. Yes, I have a follow-up.
Driving through a death room?
Yes.
That's right.
We've installed guillotine blades at the top of the outside of the window. If you stick anything out, we will drop it. Here's the reality. I just looked up the average length of a school bus.
Okay.
I've driven the full-size, very difficult-to-drive 26-foot U-Haul. I've done that, I think, three times in my life.
Three too many times.
The average school bus length is 35 feet.
Whoa.
The average up to 45 feet for full-size school buses.
I'm taking a W on this one. That sounds like a very different.
Those are very different.
I had no idea that a full-size school bus was 45.
Have you never seen a school bus?
I don't know if you knew this, but you can never, if you stand at the back of the bus, you cannot see the front.
Because of the curvature of the earth, yeah.
Of course.
You can see the horizon halfway through that bus. I mean, that is...
Most buses are citywide.
Do you know... Obviously, I could not take this thing through a drive-in, which already...
Drive-through?
You can take a Prius through a drive-through. Yeah,
you just have to look up.
You could take a Prius through a drive-through. A Prius has air conditioning. A Prius is going to have a whole lot better gas mileage. I mean,
it's much better for the earth.
It's not going to fit
your kids, though,
right?
It's better
for the
earth, for sure. No, Priuses actually have a lot of room inside. You could fit...
Multiples are called Prii.
Prii. You could fit a lot of humans in a Prii. So I'm definitely taking the bus here. because
no.
I'd rather be dead.
There's no way. Give me the Prius.
Yeah, I'll take the Prius. We know Jason has
I will
has
run
a,
over your Priuses you with my 45-foot bus.
You will never catch us.
We'll hide in a tunnel. You'll never get in.
I will wait until you are parked at home in the driveway. I will roll over it like it's a monster truck show.
All right, Newt from
after,
Twitter.
After a 30-point turn?
Yes. It's hard to get onto your street, man. Oh, no, a cul-de-sac. What do I do?
My nemesis. We meet again.
Oh, man.
Wait, do school buses beep when they back up?
They have to.
I mean, they yeah, like it seems like they have to.
They stop at railroad crossings. I know that.
And legit, you get the stop sign.
Can I ask a question about the stop sign?
Oh, dude, that's great because if I stop, you have to stop.
Legally, you have to stop.
I have so much control with a school bus. I'm just going to do that as I go down the street, just unexpected
confuse
stops.
Confuse people?
You all got to
stop. What if you drive
stop
with it? Oh, open.
Oh, man. If I saw a school bus driving
is that like
open,
having a siren on? Like I don't everyone know has to stop?
This was my question, since we'll stay here forever. How powerful is that stop sign? Like, how wide of a road do you have to obey it? All the way?
If it's
an eight-lane road?
If it is a split road where there is a median in the middle and the two lanes do not connect, there's no, like, turn lane in between, and a school bus is stopped on one side of it, you are, by law, supposed to stop on the other.
Wait, if there's a median, I'm supposed to
you
stop?
You are still supposed to stop.
So no matter
basically,
what?
No matter what, if there's a school bus stopped
but
with
that's
the stop
not true
sign
of firefighters and stuff, right? Like siren things, you don't have to do that.
Who wins?
No, a median, you're not supposed to. Yeah, I mean, you don't need to.
Yeah, so I guess school bus,
greater sign,
more important. They got to get these kids man.
There's no limit to that stop sign. Any direction.
Unlimited power.
Vision. I mean, if I can't see it, I don't know to stop. So, you know, if it's around the corner, no,
have
you
ever
don't have
blown
to stop
one of those off on accident?
On accident? No. On purpose?
Because I did, and that bus driver wanted to murder me.
Yes.
And he did.
I remember riding with my cousin. He had just turned 16, so he had just gotten his license, and I remember us, like, all the kids were gone, the sign was still out, so we went, and that bus driver, I mean, it was daggers out of that person's eyes.
You got a horn.
It's a mortal sin.
Into our souls.
Now, here's the cool part of the story, and we'll conclude it here. Jason was completely wrong. That is not the law.
Oh, but what if it was?
No.
With the median?
You are not required to stop if the bus is traveling towards you in the median or other physical barrier separates the roadway.
Okay. Huh. But if there's not a median. Oh, but
if
they're coming towards you.
If there's not a median, you need to stop.
Okay. That's still very powerful.
Yeah.
And okay. I don't know if I can say no.
I have definitely stopped.
What if you're on the freeway?
If you're on the freeway and the bus is stopped, yes, everyone comes to a stop on the freeway.
That's where you could use that power. All right, let's move on. Newt from Twitter. Would you rather have super vivid, realistic dreams, which include nightmares, every single night or never dream again?
Oh.
It's a good question.
I feel like it's a pretty easy question because I have...
You want to roll the dice?
I definitely want to roll the dice. I dream a regular amount.
I dream a dream.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Guys.
Is that Cats?
No, that's Les Mis.
Oh, it is? Oh, yeah. I was thinking of it.
Also, yeah. I'm going to count that as the first win on a song against Mike ever.
Yeah, you got me. I was thinking of also Man of La Mancha.
What? So
you were thinking of Memory from Cats, I bet.
Yeah, that was it. Yes, that was it.
I don't know any Cats songs. It's one of my greatest attributes.
Yes, you do. You know Memory.
But anyways.
I think I dream an average amount, which I would say is about once a week.
So you mean you remember your dreams?
Sure. Maybe I dream every single night. I don't remember
you do
them. Do I?
Yes.
Is that for sure?
Yes. Everyone.
Now, just a minute ago, bus drivers had to stop no matter the size of the median.
To be fair, that was you saying that, not me.
We talk, he fact checks, we correct later.
Keep in mind, Jason and I have severe sleep apnea, so we don't ever really hit.
Oh, you don't REM?
I think I REM about once a week because that's when I dream.
It's funny because if you have a really vivid dream, good or bad,
mm-hmm,
you can carry it into the day. Like, I've had dreams where They're so vividly real. Because when you're describing this, these are super vivid, realistic. If you believed what was happening in that dream was really happening and you wake up, mm-hmm. sometimes it takes mm-hmm. hours to get over that. Like, yes. I've had a dream where something happens to the kids and I'm messed up for like hours. So you are rolling the dice, but dreams are also potentially cool.
Oh,
but what if you have a cool dream, you wake up thinking, I wish it was real. So then you're disappointed.
But let me ask you this. Do you enjoy, obviously there's some out there. So I'll just clarify. Like, I love a good zombie apocalypse nightmare.
Okay.
Like, I have
interesting.
Them, and it's in the moment, it is absolutely terrifying. But I, you know, you have them from time to time but you wake up and you go, Oh, holy crap. That was insane. Because it was real. Like, that's the closest we will, maybe virtual reality will get there, but the closest you're going to get to some of these scenarios is just living it out in your dream. So, Most nightmares, in the moment, it's insane and it's out of control and you're terrified, but I'm saying that moment when you wake up and you realize it wasn't real, but you got to experience it, then I look back and I go, well, that was actually kind of cool. I was kind of into that.
What's funny is that if you have a nightmare, waking up is good because you're relieved.
Right.
If you have a nice dream, waking up is bad because it didn't come true.
There are definitely those dreams where you wake up and you go, close my eyes, take me back.
Take me back.
Oh, man. yeah, but the...
And dreams are 100% real to you in the moment. Like you said, virtual reality might get there, but you're never going to be convinced in a virtual reality reality.
Yeah.
You may be like, oh, this is really amazing tech, but you're always going to know you're entering that world.
Yeah, but I'll bet you'd forget. I bet you'd get lost in it. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe eventually.
Will we get there? That we'll be able to...
Our kids might.
To Neuralink inside. And you know that before you go in, like you're playing the game with Michael Douglas. You know you're signing up for mm-hmm, something.
But then you forget.
But you don't know what it is, and all of a sudden you're in it, and it is real.
I definitely think we'll get to that point where not
Andy,
that...
Andy shaking his head, no.
No, Jason, I was promised yes. Super VR by 2000.
I mean, flying cars were talked about in the 60s.
We're not getting there.
We might not get there, but we as a people, because the universal we will get
they'll
there.
They'll be too loud. Flying cars, it's too loud.
Is that the problem?
Yes, 100%. Have you heard a drone? Have you heard a load of drone? Now imagine that's a car.
I never thought about that. I've never once in my entire life thought about cars being too loud in the sky.
I don't think that's the reason.
Oh, that's the reason. It'll be stupid.
Air traffic control.
Wait, are helicopters too loud?
Helicopters are crazy loud,
man. Yeah, but you don't not.
Have you ever had a helicopter like buzz? Not, you know, I'm not saying they're buzzing your house, but buzz your house because they're so low.
I'm not saying they're not loud. I'm just saying you don't think about it when you're in them.
How many helicopters have you been in?
Zero.
Yeah, yeah. You know what you wear when you're in a helicopter?
Headphones.
You wear hearing protection.
Yeah, that's true.
They call them headphones. You're rocking it. I think they just like music.
Let me change this question.
They're real stylish. Those headphones from the 50s?
Yeah, Beats by Dre.
How about this? I'm going to change the would you rather real quick, and then we'll move on.
I don't
to the
even
situation.
Remember what the question was.
Well, it was the dream, super realistic okay. dreams or never dream again. But I want to change it to this. You get to pick your dream, any dream. You load the software before you go to bed, which is like amazing, right?
Okay.
If you could load that up.
This is Total Recall stuff.
Five days a week. But the other two are random, horrific nightmares. Would you take that or never dream again?
5-2 Sign me up, brother.
Yeah, that's really good.
I'll take that ratio. If you give me it's every week random chance and I don't know. It's either 3-4 or 4-3. But I don't know. Sign me up, brother.
You don't care.
Really?
Oh yes.
Okay. I mean, bad dreams might be a weight loss technique. You might sweat through the whole thing.
That sounds great too.
All right.
Put me in one of those vibration suits where you lose weight.
Wait, tell me more.
You have to have heard of those.
I have never, ever heard of what
you're
saying.
You haven't seen the ones that send the pulses through your body?
What?
And you walk around, but you're kind of shaking all the time?
They claim that you're, where it's just the guy standing there getting so sweaty, and he's like, I'm working out, but he's just standing there, and it's...
What?
You've never heard of this?
No, but tell me more, because I buy this immediately.
You've never... Owl Borland. Owl, you've heard of this, right?
Vibration suit? Yeah.
These have been around forever. And they just
Well, then why are there still so many fat people?
Maybe because they don't work, Jason. Oh. They just make you sweaty.
They just make you sweaty.
Well, you look that up and we'll move into the situation room.
The Situation Realm.
Here's the situation. Ethan from Twitter writes in, and we're here to help, Ethan. Aliens offer to take you to explore the far reaches of the universe.
Okay, I'm interested.
You will be safe, okay. And they will bring you back, right back to this moment, having not aged at all. But you will mentally experience it as a 20-year voyage.
Wait.
So you're living 20
so I'm
years.
The, I'm the same. Is everybody else the same, or is this the flight of the Navigator?
Everything's the same when you come back. In fact, you're the same when you come back physically. But you will have, you're basically leaving for 20 years, then you get transported right back to that moment. So you get 20 years of exploring the universe. That's a long time.
That's a very long time.
And wait. Mentally, you're going through 20 years worth of travel and whatever you go through.
But when you come back, your family hasn't aged.
Nothing.
You haven't aged.
You haven't aged physically.
So literally, you're just...
You're on it.
But this is just gaining 20 extra years of life, and not only 20 extra years of life, but life
without your family.
Oh, I get them back. I get them
20
back.
20 years, but, though. You don't see them for 20
but
years.
But 20 years, you've lived a full lifetime of without your family. Like, you have already learned how to live. Like, you'll spend forever missing them. But you'll have learned how to live without them.
I mean, if I told you right now you can go play in an arcade for 20 years, and when you come back, everyone's the same age, would you do that?
How much money do I get in the arcade?
How many video games are there?
Is it am I charged?
Is it tokens? Well, is it free play?
Am I going in there with $20 and then this is going to be a bad 20
Wait,
years?
Is there ticket games? Is there claw machines?
I mean, maybe you start another alien family out there.
I see your point of the arcade. Like, if the experience,
but I'm not just having the 20 years.
But I'm committed to Omegalon number 5.
If in my alien life, if the experience isn't good enough,
right?
It's not worth that gap. I get that. But this sounds like a pretty cool experience, man.
I
look at the universe.
Honestly, the only problem that I see is the distance that grows between you and your family, like, because it will be there when you come back.
Oh, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Not when you're at the far reaches of the universe, man, and you're seeing stuff.
I would do it. And the reason is because leaving my family wouldn't affect them.
Exactly.
They would not think I'm gone. And so I would get to share 20 years worth of cool stories.
The stories you would have when you come
but no,
back.
Nobody
the life
will,
experience.
Nobody
they can't
will believe
you. Yeah, because it's like
you'll have all
watch,
these.
Watch, Jay. I just went. I just got back.
Tell me more.
Yeah, I just spent 20 years on another planet.
You'll have stories that people can't fathom.
Yeah, but
happened
about Ebulon or whatever her name was.
It's a Mixulon number 9.
Here's the thing. You could retell those stories, not
and
as
she's beautiful to me.
I does not know a Mixielon number 7, the ugly sister.
She'll never be wed.
No, not number 7. Gross. The head's on her.
Mixielon. That's a good name for an
alien.
For an alien woman. You were saying something?
I had a thought. Oh, yeah. Like, instead of saying that I left and I have all these experiences, and just tell them as fictional stories.
Sure.
You have 20.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I mean, I'm coming back.
Wait
and I'm an
minute.
Author. Now I'm a playwright, a movie writer, a director, and I can bring things in that they could only dream about. The technology I've seen firsthand.
Uh-oh.
Oh, they thought teleportation was a thing. You don't need teleportation when you have...
I got a problem.
What? Okay.
Is everything going to stink and be boring for you?
My brain went there.
It's like
I'm with
you. If you grew up, it's the old C.S. Lewis. Like, if you just grew up playing in mud puddles, and then you go to a holiday on the sea, and you have to go back to the mud puddles... Life isn't the same.
It's almost like a like a PTSD coming back.
You're just like, oh man, Earth is boring. Do you remember the old?
You can do this right now. The internet's gone, Jason.
Well, that sucks.
The internet, it never existed. I mean, it did.
Oh, right. You take that away right now?
Because you got to go see that there's information is unlimited at your fingertips. Whatever you want to know, you can know because the internet exists. But now it's gone.
For everybody?
Yes, for everybody.
Okay, then I'm okay.
But you know it. You experienced it.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes those simple muddy puddles are... are actually
as long as you're
better.
With can your family in the muddy puddles?
Can you? The phrase is you can never go home.
And it would be really hard if you saw 20
years. The phrase
years,
is there's no place like home.
20 years worth of experiencing other worlds, other
your
atmosphere, other plants and
you're
animals.
You're Star-Lord. Like you are Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes,
except,
I am.
Except you come back and you're just Jason Moore.
Now I'm dad and I'm fine with that. I'm definitely doing this. I'm taking the experience. My family won't have, here's my hope. I hope that my family will get an even better man when I get back. You know what I mean? Like I'll have more experiences, more
What about
knowledge.
All Epsilon? Whatever her name is.
I mean, I'm taking the 5 out of 7 dreams, so I will remember her 5 times a week.
All right, we're moving on. Kendall from Twitter.
Ah, the tentacles.
Wow. Men in suits and sunglasses interrupt the Spitballers podcast and are going to take you into custody. They say you have to spend a certain amount of years in prison based on your crime.
What?
But they give you the choice of what your crime, of which of your crimes to be punished. Here
okay,
are your choices.
Here's our options.
4 months for each terms and agreement that you've agreed to without reading.
Oh, man.
Took me a second to understand
okay,
what was
I'm
going
there.
On.
I'm following.
So you get a 4-month term for every time you've agreed to a terms or agreement
that's okay,
without
so
reading.
That's 4,000 months.
6 months for every time you've peed without washing your hands.
Okay.
Or 1 year for every time you've forgotten your password on the first attempt.
Wow. Ooh. Okay, ooh. So obviously the least common, the forgotten, I mean washing, you know, I never forget to wash my hands when I pee. The least common only gets you 6 months, yes?
Okay. Not even COVID can get guys to wash their hands after they pee.
I look at washing your hands after you pee the exact same way I do like signaling and following rules of the road when no cars are around. Like mm-hmm. there's a little bit of like
there's a little bit of habit, there's a little bit of muscle memory.
Yeah, but there's also a little bit of subjectivity. Like if it's safe.
Yeah.
Right? Like
it's not there's no
purpose. I don't need to signal if no one's around.
That handle on that water might be getting my hand dirtier when I turn it off.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Germs don't just like leap out of these places if it looks clean, if I'm in a hurry, if I didn't touch anything I shouldn't have touched.
Well, look. I know how the law works. Okay? The law is very specific here.
Mm-hmm.
And they say you get 6 months for every time you've peed without washing your hands.
I'm never getting out of jail.
Yeah.
You just like you two, I'll be the one who says it. You're never, ever getting out of jail. You are dying there.
Especially if you count your days as a kid.
Can you like have parole for good behavior?
I mean, I'm in life.
It's good behavior.
I'm in for life just based on 2 days ago.
Dang.
Oh, man.
I mean, I've forgotten my password on the first attempt a lot. And the terms in, I still haven't read a terms in agreement.
Yeah, But
I haven't.
I just realized all
how
three
many
of these
are life in prison.
Are life in prison. Yeah. This is straight up life in prison. That's all it is. And why are they wearing their sunglasses inside? When they come to stop this
podcast.
So you
can't see their eyes.
We can run away. They won't find us.
I can go stand in a dark corner.
Bumper from Patreon. You are teleported to an alternate universe and now must live the life of a supervillain.
Oh, excellent. That's finally.
Great. However, there's good news. Oh, Mike took that as the good news.
I'm with
oh,
him.
Wait.
this gets even better?
You get to pick who you will become. Who are you secretly excited to be?
Ooh.
Are you picking your like?
What supervillain would you want to be?
Supervillain?
Okay,
Lex Luthor is very wealthy.
Yeah. Lex Luthor was great. Super smart.
He came to the top of mind.
He came to the top of mind, and Magneto came to the top of mind. because being able to control metal.
Meg, okay. This is
have your platform. I see it. You need to speak.
Magneto. Ellie, look, admittedly, I never got into like comic books. I love the culture. So this is not me shaming them. This is me saying I just never got into all of the series and everything. Magneto to me has always felt like a fully underutilized supervillain. Like if you can control actively all metals in around you, how are you not a god?
You are invincible.
You should be invincible.
That is
100%.
That breaks down with every superhero and supervillain, though. This is one of the things that always gives me the eye roll. We were watching Loki, right? Like we're going through Loki for the first time. He's the god of mischief. He has magical power.
He has some, yes.
Some, right? He'll still punch you 9 times out of 10. Then he'll use it. Then he'll punch you 15 more times. Then he'll use the magic.
But his magic is tricks.
It's like if you're Superman, why wouldn't you?
Oh, because Superman's the worst.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you use your like laser vision every 2 seconds?
Because he's
not the guy from The Boys. He's not a supervillain. If you use your eye power every time, you're straight up a supervillain no matter what.
My point is that for a lot of these, it seems like it's you run on empty. You get to use one charge and then you're done for the day.
The biggest superpower that speaks, like, I remember, do you guys remember the show Heroes back in the day?
Oh, yes. First season of that was great.
It was incredible.
Save the cheerleader.
And then they brought in a problem that took the whole show down. But do you know what the problem was? They brought in someone who could time travel. And you want to talk about the most underutilized, unrealized, like there's no problem you can't undo, but they didn't do it. They're like, oh, how are we going to get out of this one? Dude, just go back.
You know.
Dude, like, this is so easy. You know what? Just go back. And it's like they didn't have, and they have a whole season trying to figure out the answer to the problem.
Only we could go back to when this started.
Let's build a time machine.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, maybe they'll use the power halfway through the season, go back a day. It's like, dude, just go to the beginning. That one is super underutilized. But that's Mike's point, I think, is that when you have these, and your point, I think we're all saying the same thing. Yeah. When there is an unfathomably powerful power, you can't utilize it to its fullest in these shows.
Because
it breaks the show. I've been watching The Flash, and it's like,
His
super fastest.
He's underutilized. I've been on this show. I think I've used this platform of time travel. You could have an argument there, but at least the way that super speed has been relayed is that time travel might be
connected
part of super speed. Like super speed is the strongest power of all superpowers to me.
But then every episode he gets hit in the face. It's like, no, you wouldn't. Every single one. Anyways, I'm going Magneto. I think that would be really cool.
Oh, that's such a good one.
I don't care which one I am, as long as my featured role is to slowly turn around in a high back chair and pet.
Oh, like Dr. Claw?
Yeah, he's taking Dr. Claw for sure.
And I want henchmen. I'll get you next time. I want henchmen that are the dumbest. I want them to come in quivering, and I have to say, you know, you idiot. But then I never take responsibility, and I send them back out there.
But some of them get dropped into a shark pit, of course.
Oh, there's more of them.
There's definitely a button on your desk that you hit frequently. You turn around, and the big red button, boom.
Imbecile.
You get to use fun words.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm Thanos. I don't know how
that's,
you...
Oh, that's a good point.
Darn it. Yeah. My stupid little metal tricks.
All right, Mark from the website, one more. You go into your multi-stall bathroom at work, and there is no one in there. However, it is very clear that someone was recently in there and that they had a, quote, bad bowl.
Yep, okay.
You go to the wall and get done as fast as you can and start to wash your hands.
The wall?
In the urinal, I think, is what he is saying.
He never reads these. He just pays them.
Who's peeing on the wall?
You go take a whiz on the wall.
I interpreted that as a urinal as well.
All right, you go over to the urinal and get done as fast as you can. You start to wash your hands so you can escape the bad bowl's smell.
Sure.
While washing your hands, someone else walks into the bathroom. How do you convince that person that the bad bowl effect that they're about to experience was not you?
Easy. You go back to the wall. You washed first. You have
to, yeah.
Oh, you double know, P.
It was you a double pre, P. No, it was a pre-clean.
Yeah, I just came in. I had something on my hands. Oh, you know what? I still got to go to the bathroom. That's what you do. You just hope that there's the separators.
Huh.
Because otherwise.
What if they catch you on the like on the way out, but they recognize you? Because you could pass in the doorway, and you work in the same office, so they're definitely coming into that room and knowing, thinking it's you.
You've just established dominance.
Dumpinance?
Yeah.
Yes.
You, yes, thank you.
You well, if that's the case, then
I did
what
that.
You do is...
Do you take it? You claim it?
When you open the door, and I the person's walking it. In, and there's no way to go back, you're already finished, you're leaving... You got to stare them down. The whole, you're following.
You don't give them a wink?
Do you not?
No, like, I am intensely, I am looking them in the eyes the entire way in, and I'm turning my head as they walk in so they know this was me.
This is when I throw somebody else under the bus. This is, Ted took a dump. And that'll be it.
Have you guys ever experienced going into a bathroom and seeing just a dropping of just like a proportion that you couldn't physically.
Oh, in the toilet?
Yeah, it's just it's still there.
A non-flush.
Just an unflushed giant poop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I bring
what's that story?
I don't think I ever
I was reminded of camp as a teen and all of a sudden
crazy things happen at camp.
All of a sudden reports start filing out. Dude. You gotta see this turd.
No,
you gotta see it. And you,
there people are inviting people to see it.
Yes, and it did not disappoint.
Is there any chance that this was this, multiple people this, adding
no,
to the story
no, no, no.
themselves?
No, there is no chance of that. But there is a chance that a bear learned how to use a human toilet because
or a horse.
So you saw this firsthand.
Oh yeah, this thing was.
You took tickets? Did they sell
people,
tickets?
People
to
took
this?
Photos of this thing. It was.
I'm grossed out.
I'm sorry, but it was just
this
whatever.
Is real life. Okay, we're peeling back the curtain. We're talking real life.
I'm talking from floor to ceiling. This thing was out of the water.
Oh, I've done one of those. I've done it out of the water.
And we're talking circumference.
Yeah. Okay,
circumference.
Listen,
I've taken a photo.
Toilet hole circumference.
No, this is bad. This is bad. Bit. Can I please help? Listen. What was I going to say?
People are here for this.
what did you say, Al? You just texted me something that you wanted to announce.
I said, to be fair, a bear poop and a Jason poop are indistinguishable.
Here's what I was going to bring it back to. Because this is how I'm going to... I'm very proud of one thing in my life. I have yet to come to the point where I would go to the bathroom and feel the need to run away without flushing the toilet. I can tell you I have never... done number two and felt like leaving the stall without a flush. Because as far as I'm concerned, when I go to the bathroom, number two, I want it to go away as much as anybody else would.
Absolutely.
I don't want to hang out with this any longer than any. I've done the mid-bowl flush. I mean, we want it to go away.
It's a pro move.
So what happened to this person that made them run away? Are they under attack?
I can tell you.
The fact that you could flush and it would not go. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, they're afraid.
Oh, I've had one of those too.
I'm saying. Jason, were you at my camp?
It might have been. I might have been.
Were you at Big Bear?
Look, this is way TMI, but I've had two in my life that are...
Two? You've had both?
Unflushables?
Proud moments. One unflushable.
This was an unflushable.
One unflushable and one totally out of the water.
That was that
experience.
Movie with Spacey, right? Unflushables?
That's right, the unflushables. dude, the unflushable is unbelievable because, okay, imagine this.
So did you not flush?
No, I flushed 100 times, but it can't. But it can't get to the hole. Imagine a log over a river. Okay, it just doesn't go down. You could walk across it. The log isn't breaking, so there's just all the water flushes. The toilet paper's gone, and you're left with the log over the river.
That's exactly what it was.
I've done it. One of my proudest moments. I don't know how
you
much
broke a toilet.
I broke a
they
toilet.
Made for them.
That's right. That's right, I did it.
Okay. If you're still with us,
speaking
it's time
of monsters.
It's time to draft.
The Spitballers Draft.
Okay, I have no transitions.
Gave you one.
Yeah,
speaking of monsters, we're drafting the best monster movies.
I took a video. That's the 101.
Well, we are drafting monster movies.
Which monster would take the biggest dump?
I got nothing, Al. Oh. I've got no way to soften this one.
No, you couldn't soften it. It was impossible.
That was the problem.
That was the problem.
Al is now coughing. Who's got the first pick?
You do.
That's you.
Mm-hmm. I would all recommend right. The Unflushables.
I luckily I have no videos of that kind. Monster movies. We had a discussion beforehand, which was kind of like, how do you define a monster movie? Jason had like not really expanded his definitions, and I'll start.
I originally, when I thought about monster movies, after doing a little bit of research, I've seen that there's kind of a subcategory that I took as the main category, which is giant monster movies. Mm-hmm. Like, where every monster is just a skyscraper-sized problem, and that is a subcategory. So monster movies are just basically things with non-humans that are terrible monsters.
Yeah, and a good monster movie to me is one that, and the reason I'm going to take this pick at
kaiju. You expect the kaiju monster movies.
Yes. Yes, Jason. Bless you. Is the answer. To me, a good monster movie is one that has a level of suspense and buildup before a reveal. Ominous creature, you're hiding from it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of the scary elements, and there are several that fit the bill, and it's kind of stinks having the first pick because I don't know if there's a clear 101 here. But I'm going to go with Aliens. I think the Aliens movies,
sure.
Aliens, I think that is like a perfect definition of a monster movie where the terror is so great. You put yourself in that person's position, hiding from them. The monster was so terrifying. You got a mouth in a mouth that's coming after you. Mm-hmm. You got it coming out of your body. I mean, it was just, I'm going to go with Aliens as the 101.
You don't know who you can, you don't know who you can trust. It's a fantastic choice. And what's interesting about monster movies is it can be a horror movie. It can be an action movie. It
sure.
can be a thriller.
End of the world.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So I'm going to, oh man.
It's so tough.
Yeah, it is very tough because you have the aspect of our draft here where so I feel like I'm playing the game and I don't, which one would make it back?
It's tough. There's a lot of good ones.
All right,
classics.
So there's two that I think may not make it back from Jason, but I'll take the one that I think is the actual better movie. Recency bias, don't care, because this was an event. I don't think a movie theater is necessary for all films.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, Hollywood.
No, saying oh, no, because I think I know what you're going to pick, and I thought it would easily get back to me.
Oh, okay. Well, this one was, it was an event that you had to take in the theater with multiple people, because being in this room with scary crap happening, and it is just 100% deathly silent in this theater, was an experience that no other movie has matched. So I will take A Quiet Place.
It is on my list.
That's a bummer.
It would now, not,
I thought I'd get it.
It would not have been drafted by me. Mm. You could have gotten that back. I still am skewed a little bit. When I think of monster movies, I want a monster versus monsters. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
That's kind of
you don't
how,
want to be monsters versus people?
Yeah, I want like the world against a monster, or maybe a monster against monsters, but like, so I'm taking Godzilla. Godzilla is my 101. If I think of a monster movie, that is what comes to mind.
Matthew Broderick.
There's
probably 50
you can
Godzilla
very
movies.
Easily besmirch the Matthew Broderick Godzilla because
it was
terrible.
Oh, because it's terrible. Yeah.
I loved it. You did?
Yeah, because it was
I don't think there's actually a legit good film.
Yes, there's the new ones are good.
I do like the new one, the King of the what is it? Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yeah, that was solid.
See? It's got it in the title.
Well, it doesn't matter. You already took Godzilla.
That's fine.
Starring
I'll take
Matthew
Broderick. That's fine. Godzilla. The OG. Well, the OG.
It's a monster performance by Matthew Broderick.
And now for my the second OG. One. Yes, the OG.
The first time they ever made Godzilla in the 90s.
I'm saying the OG title. It's just Godzilla.
Okay.
That's all I
know. Okay.
All right. So now for my second one, I'm trying to decide. There's one movie that I really, really, really want. I think I can get it with my last pick. I don't think it'll be on either of your guys' lists. It is absolutely probably my favorite to watch of all of these.
Okay.
So I'm going to wait. I'm going to play the game, let that come back to me, or bold. I will cry when you draft them. I'm going to take just the classic of all classics, one of all three of our favorite movies, Jurassic Park.
Sure.
The ultimate
It probably
dinosaur
would not have
monsters.
Made it past me.
No, I don't think that would have got back to me. And the two that I want, I think they will both come back to me.
What are they?
So I will start with Godzilla and Jurassic Park.
Okay, it's a good pick. Okay, now, yeah, now this is interesting. Because the list is very large. What movies does Andy like of the monster movies?
Because you're trying to play the game
I
and
am.
Not have me
I am.
Steal one of yours.
Because there's... Oh, my gosh. Whatever. I'm not going to overthink it. And I'm going to go with recency bias again. You know, so shoot me. I'm going to go with Pacific Rim.
Oh, I love Pacific Rim.
I love Pacific Rim, too. It is so stupid. It's so ridiculous, the idea that the only way we can fight monsters, we need to build a giant robot.
That has to have two people.
That has to have two people mentally connect so they can run the robot. And yet it's freaking awesome, man. I love Pacific Rim.
You want to talk about a fun monster movie, just a fun like action destruction movie.
And there's multiple different monsters in it.
Absolutely love Pacific Rim.
It's funny because Mike made fun of you for liking Godzilla. But the same reason he likes Pacific Rim is the reason anybody would like any of the Godzillas.
That's right.
Which is you don't care about any of the peripherals, the Brodericks of the world. You care about a giant monster destroying a city.
You know what Pacific Rim is for us? It's just Power Rangers for grown-ups.
Yes, it
it's
is.
It's literally like,
yes, it
let's
is.
Power up and get these monsters.
And I'm not making fun of Godzilla. I like Godzilla. I'm making fun of that particular one.
Yeah, but... There are a category of movies that you just want to see things blow up.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny. I think I don't remember which of the Transformers movies I dreaded to go see. And I was like, this is going to suck so bad. But then I saw it in 3D and it was just things exploding. And I was just like, this is a pretty good time.
Yeah, I mean, it does suck. And it was awesome.
Yes.
They're immune. Yeah. All right. So I got two picks.
That's Michael Bay's motto. It sucks, but stuff explodes.
I still consider... a huge component of a monster movie, fear.
Okay.
And so, like, okay. I do respect that. With Jurassic Park, there were elements where those were dinosaurs, but they treated them just like a secret reveal, right? You didn't know where they were. You were hiding from them. The thought of, if I can put myself in that person's spot and feel that fear just a little bit from the screen,
okay,
that gets me. So, man, there's a pick that I want to take here because I'm so terrified one of you guys are going to take it. So I'm going to take Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay.
Did you guys see Pan's Labyrinth?
Of course. It's sensational.
It's so fabulous. Visually fabulous, mm-hmm. Terrifying, well made.
What's the name of the
hand?
The hand eye guy?
Oh, that thing is so creepy.
Whatever. I don't know his name.
The
hand,
monster.
Hand eye guy.
He holds his hand in front of his face and he's got the eye on it and that's how he sees. Terrible.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
And then
is it on your list?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And I know I'll get a bunch of crap for this one.
Who cares?
But
man?
I'm taking it because to me I still love this movie. And it's Signs. Because Signs has all the elements of a scary monster movie.
Sure.
You are in the middle of nowhere. You're in the middle of a cornfield. You're in the middle of a house. There's no one to rescue you. You are seeing glimpses of it on the rooftop or sliding between the corn stalks and you have to defend yourself and board the, you know, all of that is what made Quiet Place great, right? Mm-hmm. You're boarding things up and you're hiding and you don't know what it looks like until the very end of the movie.
It is funny. The you know, Quiet Place and Signs, it's like the monsters are barely in the movie. Mm-hmm. They're the centerpiece of the movie, but they're like, they aren't seen hardly at all.
Let's guess.
Doubled up on the aliens.
Yeah, so I will go. I'm going to go with Signs for that third pick and hand it back over. Would Pan's Labyrinth have made it back to me?
I would not have taken it. It wasn't on my list.
If it had, I wouldn't have taken it.
There's
here.
A chance you
but
could
there,
have
there
taken
was definitely
it?
A chance. It
thanks for making
I love
me feel
it.
Better.
I love it. It's a great movie. Now, Signs, on the other hand, it's a movie.
Signs is a great movie with a bad ending. If we can celebrate a Transformers movie that's terrible, but you
enjoy
it. I can't
take this today, guys. I just can't take it.
Signs is a phenomenal movie.
We don't need to talk about it.
I'm fully
it's
on
great.
Board loving Signs.
All right. I am, oh man, I'm very torn here. Because I have.
This is your third pick?
Yeah, it's my third pick, and I have three that I really want to take. So I'm having a very difficult time here deciding which one does not make it back to me. Whatever. We'll move forward with it. Funny enough, completely unrelated to this podcast, this draft that we're having, somehow this movie came up in our office today. Because we were talking about actors and debating the merits of them and are they actually good actors? And I brought up and I was like, you know, is this movie good? Is Kevin Bacon actually a good actor?
Oh no, you're taking one of my two.
And I'm taking Tremors, baby.
Ah! I've never seen it.
Tremors is
don't watch.
I don't
know bother.
I don't know if you can go back.
No,
but I have. My kids, turn off the podcast. Don't listen to this anymore. Like Tremors was one of those movies I saw as a kid mm-hmm. at the friend's house.
Oh, where you weren't supposed to watch it.
Whose parents were a little more lenient on the media that you could watch.
Which made it all the more exciting.
There is no way that my parents were letting me watch Tremors when I was in like third grade.
I wasn't allowed to watch Jurassic Park.
Yeah. I understand. And Tremors was on this. To be fair, I don't know if my parents have even heard of the movie Tremors, but if they had, I would not be allowed to watch it. And I saw it. It was like, it's one of the first monster movies I can remember ever watching and going and having no idea what is happening in this movie because it was so freaking crazy. But
and then afterwards,
I still love it.
Afterwards, you can be afraid everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, I'm walking to school. They're under me.
We live in a very similar place to the setting of Tremors.
Yes, yes. A lot of dirt that we can walk on. And yeah. We know what's underneath. No, Tremors was one of my two. So that is sad. I knew what I was going to take. I will go with the other movie that I was going to take right off the bat. This movie is so underrated. I think it is.
Oh, I'm excited.
I think it is great.
I'm excited.
I think the replay value, I think it holds up. The acting, phenomenal.
Ooh.
The actors, phenomenal. I'm going to go watch it tonight. And it's Reign of Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Christian Bale, Matthew McConaughey.
It's a dragon movie?
Yeah.
It's not on my list.
I've never seen it.
And I am so... Reign of Fire is great.
Thank you.
I will stand Reign of Fire until the day I die.
Is that a monster movie?
It's a dragon.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen it.
And it fits a lot of what you've talked about. Like at the beginning of the movie,
Reign of Fire is so great.
All of a sudden, you're 5 minutes into the movie, and it's kind of fast forwarded in time where the dragons have taken over the world. And you're like, you're living underground.
Sounds like a movie I should watch.
It's their place. And I'm telling you,
when
McConaughey rolls up in a tank and gets out and flexes because he's jacked on steroids, you're like,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler. Tons of steroids.
2002?
So good.
It's so good.
Oh, I love that movie. All right, so that's my first, and then I'll take Tremors. Okay.
Didn't there Tremors 2?
Oh, there's like 6,000 of them now.
All right. There's a lot here. I think I know where I'm going to go. There's about four on my list worthy of taking, but I'm going to take one that is very, very famous for its, depending on your perspective, phenomenal or horrifically awful ending, and that is The Mist.
Oh, it is. Was my
which
next pick.
I think.
It was well. Ending. Hold on. Yeah. Which ending have you seen?
I guess because
the director
the statute of limitations is here, right? Like I can give a spoiler.
I mean, well, depending, because the director's cut is an ending of a movie that you don't even want to say what happens at the end.
I don't want to say what's happened at the end.
Okay.
It doesn't go well, and then right after it doesn't go well,
yes,
it would have been okay.
Yes.
That's the ending
yes,
I saw.
Yes, that is 100% the ending I know, that is one of the movies that stuck with me for like 3 days after I was thinking about the ending of that movie going,
brutal.
It is heart shattering what happens at the end of The Mist. And the whole movie's fantastic and they get you.
I never seen it.
I walked away from that movie hating it
because the ending was so rough.
And then day after day, month after month, year after year,
I think about it.
And yeah. I go, okay, it was great. Because movies don't make me do that. Mm-hmm. And I was upset leaving because I didn't like it. But in truth, it was an unfathomably memorable memory.
Yes.
Mike, you have your final pick.
All right. So one is a horror movie and one is an action movie. And I'm sticking with the action movie because I love it
because
so much.
You love Brendan Fraser.
Wait. What? Which one are you talking about? Brendan Fraser?
I won't.
Oh, The Mummy?
Maybe.
Oh, no, that's not.
I used to love The Mummy. There's
nothing wrong with The Mummy. No, but. Arnold. You got to get to the chopper. Because I'm taking The Predator, baby.
Oh, The Predator's a good pick.
The Predator is a.
Captured the imaginations of the young Predator, men everywhere.
Nothing, literally nothing happens in this movie.
No.
Nothing.
No.
It's just.
Why are they there? Do we have a reason why they were on the island?
I'm sure they were there to rescue somebody, but it's like eight crazy jacked dudes running around shirtless with giant guns shooting at something. It was scary. And then the movie's over.
It's just like Aliens, only
Schwarzenegger covers himself in mud, and then the movie's done. But it is fantastic, man. The Predator is legit.
All right. Well, I will close it out. I have an honorable mention.
I have so many that I want to bring up.
I will close it out with Jaws. I will take Jaws as the final.
I was wondering who would take it.
It was actually interesting because I thought Jason was describing all of the things about it holding up and the actors in it and the movie.
Does Jaws hold up?
Not the shark.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
That's why I was surprised. I wasn't sure, but the acting does, and the movie, the suspense, the fear. Again, I think all of mine come down to like relating to a fear of a monster. I mean, that's the traditional kid monster under the bed thing. Like,
have you ever been so far out in the ocean that you can't get to the bottom?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Jason, have you ever done that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's
a deep that is
and
frightening.
I mean, it doesn't have to be like it can be, you know, 30 feet or so, but there is still an uneasiness about being that far out.
You can feel that in a lake. If you swim in the middle of a lake, it feels really weird knowing that you
like Lake Placid.
I was on a. I was at a lake recently, and it's like, you know, you look at the little. Whatever it's called, the little rangefinder, and it shows you the depth. It's like, this is 150 feet down? What?
What's under me?
Anything could be there.
So the one honorable mention I want to throw out there was from 2016.
Okay.
And I don't know if it would have, I mean, it should have counted, but it was like a little bit more of a human monster situation.
Okay, it turns out that we're the monsters.
10 Cloverfield Lane. Did you guys ever
see
that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
John Goodman was in it.
Yeah.
The girl that was kind of trapped in the underground to stay away from the monsters.
Yeah, and it turns out the aliens were actually out
there. They were
there.
Actually out there.
That
movie was so good.
That was such it was a unnecessary yet incredible twist at the end of the movie. Like, oh, I guess Goodman wasn't that bad, was he?
Pale Man was the name of Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, yes. Cloverfield
scarier.
On my list.
Yeah, sure. I did like the original Cloverfield. My shout-outs were, number one is The Descent, which I don't know if you've seen this one.
I have not seen
that. It's centers around a group of women, and they go spelunking like into a cave, and turns out the one in charge like brought them to a different cave that hadn't been explored, and then there's like these, they get stuck, and there's
Can I guess? There's some monsters.
There's some monsters in there, but it also has another ending that is for those that need a resolve, a good resolve.
It's not for you.
It's not for you. Makes you feel bad. And then it's a foreign movie, but shout out to Troll Hunter. If you've not watched Troll Hunter, I think I watched it on Netflix. I believe it's a Norwegian movie, but it's a subtitled movie. I get it. You have to read, but it's fantastic. Where it turns out that trolls are real and they have to go hunt them, but it ends in this culmination of this giant troll chasing him down. It's a spectacular, really underrated movie that people need to know about.
My shout out was to Anaconda. Back when we were younger.
Dude, the trach scene where they got to get the bugs in the guy's mouth.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sitting here and I'm deep diving this Pan's Labyrinth Pale Man, who was played by actor Doug Jones, right? Who played Pale Man.
Who's Doug Jones?
Well, apparently he's also Silver Surfer. He's also some of these freaky looking aliens inside of Star Trek.
He's like a Andy Serkis type
of
guy?
He's kind of a freaky looking dude.
He just does CGI?
Yeah, it's nuts. He's cast in these roles of these unique, weird-looking characters. Oh, he was also in Hellboy.
What?
Yeah. You know that creature with the like longer face, the water creature in Hellboy?
Sure.
That's him.
And is Doug Jones just like actually devastatingly handsome?
No.
Oh. I'm sorry, Doug.
No, I mean, he looks like an alien.
He should be in CG.
He's got a face made for CG.
He's a creepy looking dude.
I'm sorry, Doug.
I just Googled him. He is a creepy looking guy. Like, he knows it. I'm not trying to insult the man. I'm just calling out CG.
All right.
It's a shtick. He's made a career.
Yeah, I mean, he's made a heck of a career out of having a
Good
really
you,
long
Doug.
Alien face.
What did we learn today?
Boy, we learned too much, didn't we?
Oh, man, I learned that school buses do not have a power over the median.
I learned that Jason broke some records when it came to the dump skis.
A log over the river, my friends.
That was what that was going to be what I learned, too.
That you, yeah, we can
I mean, I also learned there's a fat suit I can wear to vibrate me out of this, out of all this.
Out of this fat?
All right, well, that'll do it. Al, I think you learned a lot today, too. So
right,
always.
Snake.
We'll catch you next time.
See you next time. Thank you for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.